I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Oh my God.
Hello, and welcome to the 7th ever episode of Key Fort, a podcast about playing Keyforge in a fort with friends. Today on Key Fort, a king is crowned.
King of the fort! King of the fort! King of the fort! King of the fort! King of the fort!
And it smells like foul play.
What's going on? And it was really tense. We were both really on edge, and I was like, this is bullshit.
He accused me of cheating.
I was like, what is going on?
You looked me in the eyes, and you said,
are you messing with me?
Are you sure you shuffled?
And Dan gets pleasured.
I actually think that how the banger feels when it's banging is a very important factor. Are you having fun banging? Does it feel good?
Let's open up the fort!
Hello and welcome back to Key Fort, a podcast about four friends in a fort playing Keyforge. I'm Jeff.
I'm Dan.
I'm Scott.
And we're joined here, as always, by our producer, neighbor, confidant, friend, Jason.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. So we're excited to be back, guys. It's been a little bit of a break. We wanted to learn the new set, like we talked about, and just have fun with it, which is why we got into this.
It's been a month. I've started to feel like I'm getting itchy, like I'm taking withdrawals from podcasting. You know, I've been really enjoying it, so it's nice to be back in the fort.
I forgot how all this goes down.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you talk into your mic, right?
Oh, okay.
Make eye contact with your fellow hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Make a nice personal
longingly
connection.
At Jason.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he does have those dreamy eyes.
Smile. Scott earlier forgot how to turn a thing with his own hand. He looked at Jason and was like, how do I move my boom stand, my mic stand?
Well, usually Jason sets all this up for me, so I just walk into it and everything's ready and perfect, but you set it up this time, so it wasn't perfect. It wasn't right at all. You got to put the mic on the crack on the table.
And Scott didn't know how to undo the wheelie thing and slide it 6 inches. It was actually kind of funny. Right. He's like, hey.
But you were too nervous about touching my pop filter that I popped a loogie on a month and a half ago.
Because it's nasty.
Yeah, it's nasty. That's why we have a system here.
Yeah.
We should just leave it up there. We need to get the label maker back in the fort. Make sure we understand that.
Yeah, I was going to bring mine.
The Lex Loogie.
WCW
superstar from the late 90s, for those of you following along.
So we played the new set. It was fun. I really like it. It seems like it just feels like for me, for my limited playing, that the average power level of it is a little bit higher than the previous set. Maybe the top end's not quite as high, or maybe there's just been so many old decks open, but
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in there. There's a lot of reap hate, which kind of slows down games, I think. You know, like, I think we need that. I think we need a little bit of different edge to it. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, I think, how a lot of those reap hate cards come play out at the table.
They have won me a pretty significant match recently. It's not the most powerful combo. And at the first I was like, this is kind of lame. Like, it's maybe just a gimmick, but it's never going to hit. Man, in the right situation, it could be just what you need to get you over that curve if you have an evenly matched deck or a certain set of synergies. But yeah, it's been, I don't even want to play Coda, Call of the Archons. Like, I do, you know, but I haven't even thought about going back to my decks. Like, as soon as it came out, I was like, this is fun. Dan, I'm sure you're excited about Brobnar because sweet Jesus.
Freaking bangs.
It does bang. Like, it bangs so hard.
Like, oh my God. Like,
yeah,
they
it's
just,
fun.
Get lumpy.
Yeah, you know, and the way that we approach the game, a new set is always going to be received very well by us because, you know, we're just opening packs and having fun with them and playing them. And, you know, we're not necessarily too concerned about the varying power levels of Coda versus AOA. You know, it's more about, you know, is this deck fun? Does it bang? Does it not? You know, is it a good time?
Well, and I think we've all opened some, you know, if you follow, like, you know, with Coda, there was like lands decks or horseman decks or, you know, whatever, but or bait and switch decks. But I feel like we've all pulled some like ridiculous, like banger, like top level combos in some of our decks. So I feel like there's a lot more opportunity and diversity. So you don't need a lands deck or a bait and switch heavy deck anymore. You can go like Mars Logos and go Reap Heavy, or you can go freaking Brobnar Sanctum and just pound the shit out of somebody and capture and steal everything and control the board and reap and bounce things around. And I think it's gotten a lot more, dare I say, elegant.
Maybe you do say elegant. Mm. You know, in my first three freshies, I popped a Heart of the Forest combo with Key Charge and Chota Hazzery, and that's super fun. But that also has a Grunt Buggy too, so that's a fun deck. And brutal I also card. Pulled a Binate Rupture and a Dimensional Graft, a Brig deck, and that's fun too.
My second deck was a Rats deck.
Oh, you got Plague Rats?
Yeah.
How many did you get?
Just four.
Just four. Oh, okay. Well, that's
I've seen like up to seven.
I'm waiting for the 12. The 12. Like, do you think that's there?
It's. I mean, I bet they set a rule that said no, because it's probably not hard in the algorithm to say like just limit seven. But who knows? Maybe we'll see. But yeah, I got a couple Archimedes, but you know, double Archimedes, Bouncing Death Quark.
Yeah, it was
with Helper Bot. With Mars, with Dis, with triple Exhum.
Right.
It's nasty.
that so deck's such a beast. Freaking brutal.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that deck a little bit later.
It's so
when
gnarly.
We talk about going to our first organized play event. That's going to be super fun.
Yeah, so one other thing, you know, I think some of us have had a little evolution of our forging sounds, you know. We'll touch on that a little bit later too, kind of on the way to some organized play, talking about whether we'll do our sounds or not. I've got a new sound. I'll share it with you guys now if you want.
Yeah, sure, let's hear it.
It's kind of like a World War II dive bomber. It's like,
yep.
And you get to slam that mini down when you do it.
Oh yeah, the slam is important.
Look him in the eye and like,
yeah. Dan, do you have a new forging sound? Are you sticking with?
No, I'm sticking with it. But yeah, I don't think I mentioned it last time. But like, I turn the key when I go, which that's an important part
of releasing the pressure.
Yeah, why don't you run us through your forging sound again?
You go, okay, give me the mini.
Yeah, we got these minis.
I go,
oh,
not like that. Not with the can. And flip it as I'm whooping.
See, if you have a sound that good, you don't really have to change it. I don't even remember what my old one was. It was so dumb.
Yeah. So my old one was singing Scott Walker for a little while. You know, I think I committed to that for like a month. I think I needed to change it based off of necessity by going to these organized play events. I wasn't going to bust that out at Dreamers.
We were hopeful.
Please not.
So this season, I'm going to try to commit to the chicken sounds that the Bluth family makes in Arrested Development when they're doing their chicken dance. And so I'm going to rotate between ka-ka-ka-ka and ka-ka. So we'll just see how that works.
Okay.
Doesn't even sound like a chicken, but I don't remember that part of Arrested Development either, so I'll take your word for
it. Yeah, and they each dance their own way. It's, I don't know, it's cute and it's fun. And Jason, yours is still...
Yep.
And beautiful. I can vouch, he did it in public.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about that
a little bit later.
Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry.
And really quickly before we move on, want to talk quickly about the Sanctimonious podcast. We've got a match, a challenge, a gauntlet, would you say?
Thrown down.
Issued. We want to make it a disc golf and Keyforge podcast, but it sounds like the disc golf is going to be much harder than the Keyforge. So we're going to try to get a nice little match set up on the Crucible or the tabletop simulator thing. You know, maybe we could do this in my VR. Because I've got that VR set up, and you can get in and do the tabletop simulator.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So maybe we can get you in the VR, and you can just, like, just mess around with that. That might be kind of fun. But we've got a little package we're sending to Dan. It's going to be nice. He should have already received it. And maybe you can tune into their podcast where, you know, they can...
Unboxing.
Maybe they can people do a little bit of unboxing.
People love an unboxing. Kids these days, that's what they're into. That's what they say.
So I'm the one to take on the Sanctimonious guys because I won the league.
Which King of the Fort.
I'm King of the Fort. And we'll talk about that later. I just had a quick thing I wanted to say. First off, I'm honored for the chance to take on the Sanctimonious guys in a Keyforge battle. They started their podcast the same time that we started ours. And I think both of our shows complement each other nicely. Secondly, ever since Scott discovered the Sanctimonious podcast, Scott hasn't been able to stop talking about them. Guys, there's this other podcast about Keyforge, and they play disc golf. We need to set up a Keyforge and disc golf battle to see who's best. He keeps talking about them and chatting with them in Discord and Twitter. He plays with them on the Crucible, and now they're even sending each other's packages in the mails. So, I've got one thing to say to the Sanctimonious guys. Keep your asses in Idaho and Alabama, or wherever the fuck you're from, and get your own damn friends. Scott's our friend, and he stays in the fort. Keep the fuck away from him. After I beat your shit asses, you're gonna go back to picking potatoes and mixing paint for your goddamn uncles and wish you never heard of Keyfort. Scott's our friend. I'm gonna fucking destroy you. I'm the king of the fort.
Oh, God.
King of the fort.
Oh, oh, God.
That's beautiful.
Oh, my God. That was so creepy. Oh, that was going.
Jeez.
I'm gonna pass out. Oh, my God.
Fort report.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeff, you have this week's sponsor?
I do, yeah. So this week's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Investments LLC. Trying to save for that crevice front dream property but a little short on funds? We specialize in helping you achieve your dreams even if you don't have the ability to get those funds together yourself. We have a portfolio of products that we can apply to your situation to take you from locked out to wielding all of the keys to your dreams. With a proprietary mix of techniques, Shadow Investments LLC will tirelessly fill your forge by identifying targets with too much to protect while our trained staff baits, switches, and steals your way to success. Call now.
Thank
Scott.
You. Thank you. So we recently crowned a king in the fort, and this is really exciting.
So Jason won all the money in our league, and he is now the king. What? We are giving. We bought a nice crown, and now we are giving it to Jason, and we're putting it on his head right now.
It's not going to fit his giant ass head either.
Yeah. Well, now with the headphones on, for sure.
He's going to have to.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect with the headphones too. Yeah.
It is hot.
This is it's a penalty game now.
It is. Yeah.
I get
the heat. Yep.
Like
and you have to wear this every time you're playing Keyforge in the fort.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a rule.
Yeah. It will be displayed prominently.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It
That's
fits.
Beautiful. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to have to keep it somewhere, you know, nice. Somewhere nice.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to hang
looks
it somewhere.
Nice. Looks nice.
We get one where you can't see your face. That's the best picture of you we can get.
King of the fort, 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 king of the fort.
Man, we just took that explicit tag to the next level already. Welcome back, folks.
It's been a month. We've been holding all of this in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. And then we brought in some fresh meat in the fort in this last month.
Not even Keyforge related, but worth talking about.
Right, yeah, and we definitely got to talk about this because we invited our disc golf friend, Sidler, into the fort.
We brought our buddy Sidler.
We brought our buddy Sidler into the fort. He's a disc golf friend of ours, to play some Fiasco. If you guys haven't played Fiasco, check it out. It's a great game by Bully, what is
Bully
it?
Pulpit.
Bully Pulpit Games, Jason Morningstar and company. It's a game that simulates the Coen brother movies of Fiasco-like interactions between various characters where things spiral out of control. And we played a lot in the fort just because it kind of fits our personalities, and we had a really good time. But this time we played a game called Nut People, which is all about South Georgia people who sell pecans by the side of the road.
Yep, pecan farmers.
Pecan farmers. And it was great. And having a new person in the fort was kind of refreshing and fun. We kind of wanted to just talk about like what he brought to the table.
Well, let's talk about the fact that he wore a one-piece shorts, t-shirt style space cat romper.
Full print space cat
Full
romper.
Full print space cat romper. My neighbors were like, what the
what is going on?
What do you do back there? And he was jazzed. He showed up with like 10 bags of snacks, 2 packs of donuts. He was just like...
And a firework.
And one firework.
One firework.
And he's like, let's go.
He's like, since we're in Walgreens, start selling fireworks. So I brought two things of donuts, all these different spicy hot
Cheetos,
and a firework.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was touch and go for a little bit when it first started going, because he plays GURPS, and that's the only role-playing game he's ever played is GURPS.
Fiasco is like literally the opposite of GURPS.
Right. He called it freestyle jazz role-playing.
Yes.
He's like, I didn't realize that I was going to have to freestyle jazz.
And then at one point he goes, wait, you can kill people in this? And then he's like, oh, there we go. That's pretty good. But anyway, that's probably more than you guys care to hear.
It's currently 80 degrees outside. It's sitting at 70% humidity. It's really hot. We've got Ryan's dad's fan going over here. Which is just a huge industrial fan from the late 70s. So if you hear that going, that's going. We're under heat advisory. It's going to get up to 97 degrees today. It's just
It's just, it's stupid. Cammy, when she left the house today, she walked outside and said, "Ew, I just stepped into someone's mouth."
That's a perfect description, though.
Yeah.
Just nasty.
We also had Andy in the fort. He's the previous creative director of Keyforge.
First four sets, I think.
First four sets, or first three sets. And I actually just got a text from him right now asking if we were recording today.
Really?
Yep.
Because, hi, Andy.
Because he has our last round of our logo work done.
Oh, snap.
That's right. For us to review. So he was hoping to get it to us this afternoon. He was hoping we were going to record this afternoon so we could review it together.
Well, we're going to have him on the podcast, too. We're working someday on him.
Yep. I hope so. I hope he'd like to come on. He's got some really cool insights about how the game was developed and a lot of the lore surrounding it.
Well, and playing with him, too, was really fun because he would see a card and go, "Oh, I love this card. I don't know what it does, but I remember this art project." And it was really fun to hear him talk about, like, which, like, Perplexing Sophistry is, like, his favorite card. Because how do you communicate a concept in a thumbnail image of, like, a shadow elf arguing effectively against a judge wearing an old-style colonial wig with somebody on trial being convinced? You know, it's like, that's a complex concept to communicate in one little piece of art. And he was like, "Oh, I just love this." So it was really cool.
You're not going to get a quick game in with him because he likes to talk about every card, which is fun.
No, I loved it.
So to close out the Fort Report, this season we're going to be doing some deep thoughts. So here is your deep thought to stoke your face forge. If a key is forged in the woods and no one is there to hear it,
was the key forged?
Question for the ages.
Classic.
Hot tip. Take care of your hands. Stretch those fingers often.
Hot tip.
Shuffle twice, cut once.
Hot tip.
If you forge the third key before your opponent, you're probably going to get the W. Hot tip.
In our first topic this week, Dan, you want to talk about the closeout of our adaptive league and how that all played out.
We had a finals round. They did a four-person quick bracket tournament. It was Jason, Jeff, Knopf, and Nick. And how did that go? Well, obviously, Jason's king of the fort.
He is wearing the crown.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Well, it started off, I was playing against Jeff to see who would make it to the finals. I picked what I thought was a banger, and it turned out to be a bomb, but I beat the crap out of Jeff with it anyways. And then I went to the finals.
Knopf said.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with Knopf and Nick's match.
But Knopf obviously won.
Yeah.
Yep, Knopf won, and I beat him with my banger. Then when we swapped decks, I was familiar with Knopf's deck that I knew what it was capable of. I knew what it was supposed to do because I played against it a couple times, and I was able to pull off what it's supposed to do and beaten off with it. And that's pretty much Chota Hazary. It came down to my last draw, and I ran out of cards. I drew up to six cards and had no cards in my draw pile. And then he's got Dust Pixies.
Yeah, he's got two Dust Pixies in there where it's power one, and you get two Ember when you play them.
He's got
double regrowth in that deck, too.
Yeah.
So he's got Dust Pixies and some regrowth. So the idea is you pull the Dust Pixies out of your discard and you play them again, then you Chota Hazary. And I was able to pull that off with no cards in my draw pile. And so I won, and then it was kind of a flat win because it turned into Knopf.
Oh, it was like a 10-minute rules thing. And it was like, no, Knopf, you lose.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to shuffle till he's compelled to draw. And he's like, "Oh, I don't know.
The rule, though?
It is the rule.
It is the rule now,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've confirmed it several times. You don't have to shuffle your pile until you are compelled to draw, which is the end of your turn, unless a card triggers a draw before then.
Interesting.
You don't have to shuffle your pile right away,
well,
so you got to fold this card.
Shuffle your pile until you are forced to draw.
Yeah, I could see.
Because if you have Exhum or something, or Arise from Dis, you want
a fat stack.
Biggest, fattest discard pile possible and just
You want a fat stack. It's a good distinction to make for sure.
I love the game, and I think, you know, it's going to have those little tweaks and nuances, and you know, it is what it is, but I love it. So
what are your guys' takes on the adaptive format?
What's cool about it?
We need a time limit. That's my take.
I agree.
Because I like Keyforge, and I would love to get more than, you know, one game in. So I'd love to come into the fort, and now that we've experienced this organized play, right, set a 40-minute timer per game, knock out your adaptive match in an hour and a half, and then you've got another hour and a half to play instead of these 2-hour and 45-minute, 2.5-game adaptive matches. But I love the format. It creates a lot of strategy and thought into it versus just bringing a banger and hitting somebody really hard with it and walking away.
It opens up the deck pool a lot because you don't have to bring your best banger. I mean, if you're doing just Archons, you'd probably want to start chaining decks and that's a pain.
Good point. Yeah, and with casual play with friends, figuring out chains is going to be really hard because obviously you don't want chains on your deck.
Right? Unless Fantasy Flight wants to, you know, I don't know, open up the algorithm so we can scan our decks and get chains.
I mean, it might be kind of fun. But, you know, I want to talk about this time limit for a little bit because initially I think I'm on the same page with you, but I don't want it to be the same time limit that stores use. Because,
well, they had 35 minutes.
Right. They have 35 minutes, and I don't want 40 minutes. I think...
45?
I like the idea of preparing my mental space for these bi-weekly matchups for just a whole night. I do like that. I like knowing that I just have to play one match, and I can take my time. But I do think we do need a time limit. I just think it like 60 minutes per match or
what
something.
What are you talking about?
So with 3 hours?
I finished all my games at the store in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's at the store. It's not in the fort. Time slows down in the fort.
Yeah, dude, I am not playing a 3-hour adaptive match. F that.
No.
Fort's closed. 3 hours? Potentially?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit. No, no way.
What's wrong with you?
Because what if Ryan shows up at 7:30?
Well, that's...
10:30?
I mean... If you're going to impose time limits, then that means everybody needs to be here at the very specific time.
Yeah.
Okay. So that actually might help us get this thing done better.
I don't know. I think there's got to be a happy medium.
I think for the regular play, I don't think time limits are needed, but I think for the playoffs, it would be great. That way you can just get it done.
Right. Because the playoffs are multiple matches per night.
Yeah.
And that's hard with the best of three.
Yeah.
Because it just takes so much time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what the group wants to do. And we'll all come to a consensus. I think an hour is way too long per game. Like, that's just silly.
47 minutes.
47's not bad. I'd argue 42, 45, like 42 minutes from 45 seconds.
Right. So let's talk about this upcoming season. I know that Knopf hasn't finalized the format yet, but I do know that he's kicking around ideas for how to do these matchups where he wants to keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. Including popping freshies in adaptive, freshie adaptive battle, which is what we're going to be doing with the Sanctimonious guys, which adds a whole new wrinkle because how do you bid chains? You got to figure it out on the fly. He also talked about maybe wanting to do blind popping freshies where you don't look at your deck at all. You pull your Archon card out, you put it upside down so you don't see what's in your deck, you shuffle up and you play.
That's a guaranteed 4-hour match right there.
Which seems like it's going to be really hard to bid chains and figure out what these decks do because you're seeing it per card as it's played. You don't get to look at the Archon card. You don't get to look at the Archon card in sealed either. So that's hard too. And then we were also talking about doing some reversal adaptive where you bring a deck that you're playing against for the first match. Instead of bringing a deck to play, you bring a deck to play against.
Right, you swap first. So you get your deck second.
Get your deck second.
Sure.
Which changes it up a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
And all of those sound interesting. And
we talked about randomizing, right? So you show up, or like the day before, like on Monday, we roll a die, and it's like, okay, everybody, we're popping freshies tomorrow night.
Popping freshies.
Or it's a reversal tomorrow night, and then we cross it off, right? So because we don't want to make people have to pop a freshie every week. If let's say you roll a six every time, it's like I don't want to pop a freshie.
Yeah, there'll be a dollar amount buy-in, and that would include the freshies.
That's right. That's right. We talked about a little buy-in.
Freshies and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
don't point at my boxes. Those
what else
are Jeff's
we
boxes.
What else are we going to do with these? You're going to have 30 of these decks? You're going to become what you have said that you hate.
Well, no, I have always said that.
What?
I have said that.
No, someone with like thousands of dollars of Keyforge stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah.
No, it's two boxes.
Yeah, it's two boxes.
It's 24 decks.
It's 24 decks.
That's it. I haven't bought any other freshies. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Silly.
I mean, something is changing in your brain a little bit with.
Well, it's because I saw that one stupid combo, and now I realize like
that you want to buy things on the secondary market.
Just the one thing. Just the one thing. Okay. The one thing. I know. I'm eating crow right now, but whatever.
Do we allow decks bought on the secondary market in the fort?
I can do whatever I want. It's my fort.
That's true.
So
I'm king of the fucking fort.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Fuck you. We're making intense eye contact right now.
Hot tip.
Make sure you're eating enough bananas. You gotta pop that potass.
Hot tip.
Never trust Scott when victory's on the line.
Hot tip.
Someone get me a beer. Hot tip.
So we popped into Dreamer's Vault to play some organized event as freshies. This last week on Tuesday. Instead of gaming in the fort, we took it on the road and we got some chains on our decks. Well, one of us got some chains on our decks.
Yeah.
A little bit more on that later. We recorded ourselves heading over there in Jeff's Volkswagen. And can you play it for us?
All right, guys, roll your windows up.
Okay, bitch.
We're on our way to...
Fuck! Oh, parking brake. Sorry.
We're on our way to Dreamer's Vault.
I kind of want to turn the radio off, too.
To play our first organized event of Key Forge.
We're doing it.
What are you guys worried about?
I think Jeff's a little nervous here.
It's because I don't own tokens. As long as I can buy some tokens, because I think the thing with not using dice is fucking retarded. But that's just me. I know Dan feels differently.
That's the thing? You're not supposed to use dice?
You cannot use dice as counters in this game. Officially.
Makes sense.
What? Yeah. So why does it make sense? I'm just curious.
Because they can mean anything.
Well, but... So, takebacks are legal in Keyforge play. As long as both players agree.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's so hard about saying, hey, I'm Jeff. D6s are power. Are you cool with that? People can't count dots
different
on
people,
a face.
If different people have different things for different sizes of dice, it would be a mess.
And, of course, they want to sell their tokens.
Yeah, that too, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd lose out on the token market for sure.
I'm mainly worried about these forging sounds, honestly.
It's fine.
That's my biggest worry.
You gotta do them, right?
Oh, yeah. I might go full Grape Lady.
No, if you go Grape Lady, I think we'll be asked to leave.
Just right off the bat. It's like, I can't breathe.
Okay.
Stop. Oh, my God. One key in, they're like, what the fuck?
And another thing that I'm worried about is we're bringing five of us in this car right now.
They've never seen us before.
And we're about to drop some bangers on them, too. Some solid play.
Yeah, we're... just five grown-ups going to a game store.
Another thing I'm really worried about is Jeff is already on tilt. He's already on tilt. We're not even there yet.
I'm worried about etiquette and, like, can you touch other people's counters? Like, am I allowed to put damage on their creatures with my counters, or do they have to do it with their counters?
Or, like, can I reach across the table and smack that shit off their creature?
Because I don't want some greasy counters coming back into my counter pile.
That's what I'm saying. Get the Mountain Dew counters.
Look, the parking lot's full. It's Keyforge night, baby! That's handicapped. This is Crystal Garden, customer parking only.
Yeah, but this is A&D Nails, and they can go fuck themselves because they're closed.
That is perfect.
This is perfect.
All right, everyone.
Here we go.
Okay, we'll see you in a few hours.
Good luck.
Yay!
Shotgun.
Woo!
It's good over.
Nope.
Sorry, now.
The wrong side again.
So, what do you guys think?
We got a.
What's fun?
He took it down. We had 15 people.
Some other guy went 1-3-1 as well.
Oh, wait, you went 3-1? I thought you went undefeated.
No, that Joe guy with that Bravnar deck beat me right at the end.
Oh. Yeah.
Why am I going this way?
I won one game. Dan didn't win any games. Chris won two games. Jason won two games.
Yeah.
So that
should have been three.
You played that Luke guy, right?
Yeah, but I only beat people in this car. So I beat Scott and Dave. I didn't beat any randoms.
Right, you didn't beat the meta. Yeah, Luke's deck seems like it was pretty legit.
So he had three Titan Librarians that if they're not on a flank, you archive at the end of your turn. And he busted three of them out with a Hex Beyond in one turn. He was like, boop, 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 boop.
And then just...
Well, he started to just shit all over his archives, and then I Overlord Grekkinged and took one, and then popped another one off the board, and popped another one off the board, and he was like, fuck.
The timing thing screwed me over.
Yeah, going to time? That's a whole other variable that you don't even think about. And the fact that he Shatterstormed on his extra turn to take it all down to zero so that there was no tie and you had to go in.
That's a new wrinkle.
That's crazy.
That's next level shit.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I think that I'd go back, and it was an easy experience, and it's easy to, like, go and hang out with these people because they all like what you like, you know?
That was fun.
So, like, I think that I'll probably pick up some random games here or there, you know?
You really got to bring your banger, though. You got to bring the banger.
That was a really good time.
Did you bring a banger, Dan? Or did you think you did?
Yeah, I brought the Dan's Helping Dan's suggestion deck, and it just didn't come out in the right order, you know? I got my board clears before I got my Annihilation Ritual, just all kinds of stuff like that, you know? It was fun. It was a good time.
All right, it's time for burgers and beers.
All right.
Burgers and beers.
Yeah, that was us in the car. Luke is Sky Jedi on Discord, and he is working on a tabletop simulator tournament room that houses 10 people. So you can get 10 people in this room to play Keyforge.
Really?
And he was also the guy who ported over the new set to Tabletop Simulator.
Hmm.
Yep.
Huh.
They're,
no, he's an even cooler dude, though.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
He's a super, cool guy.
Why don't we talk about how that all went down?
It was a fantastic match, and it went down to time, and I had no idea what happens when you run out of time.
Right, and so the three of us were watching your match going down to time, and behind your head was the big counter, and we were just watching, hoping that you realized what the situation was, because when it goes to time, the rules are, if it's your turn, you finish your turn, and then your opponent gets a free turn, and then it goes down to keys. And if you have the same amount of keys, then it goes down to amber in your pot. And if you have the same amount of amber in your pot, then it goes down to
creatures on the board.
And if you have the same amount of creatures on the board, it goes to amber pips in your hand.
Of that house of the creatures
Of the creatures of the board. And if it goes down into there, it's the first player.
Yeah, who won the dice roll.
Yeah. So that's a quick recap of it. And the situation that you guys were in was that it went to pips in the hand, even though there was a ton of amber on the board. Jeff had it won.
Because he had it won.
But guess what Luke had in his hand? Fucking Shatterstorm.
Yeah.
Which takes it down to zero.
Yep.
Just down to zero. And what a great card to have in your hand when it goes to time. Is there any other card that's better than that when it goes to time?
And I made a big mistake because I had Archimedes Bouncing Death Quark the turn before, and I forgot to pick up my archives because I got flustered. So I had played one Mars creature. That was kind of my last turn. And then it went to the kind of bonus turns, and I forgot my archive again. And he had his whole archive. So I was like, well, I'm about to lose because this guy's got like 9 cards in his hand. One more turn. I had him on amber like crazy, but he's got the final say. But then he Shatterstormed. And he played one Mars creature, and it came down to our hands. Luckily, I had one Mars card in there worth an amber, a bonus amber, and he didn't have any Mars cards worth an amber in his hand. So we took it down in the tiebreaker to tie the tiebreaker to break the tie. That's the tie.
It's one of the craziest finishes I've ever seen.
It was crazy. It came down to it was like poker. It was like, okay, show him. And I had that one little pip, and he was like, handshake, good game. You know, everybody was like, oh, neat. And then...
Right, he was one amber pip away from winning $15 in store credit.
Instead, I got Keyforge Rich.
And what'd you buy with that?
Stormcrawler Playmat, because that's the card I stole from him when he thought he had nerfed me.
Awesome.
And it was the only Mars playmat they had, and Mars bangs moms.
So enough about you.
Yep, enough about me.
I want to talk about what it feels like to not win a single game, Dan.
Oh, geez, brutal.
So I played these guys. I played against Chris and Jeff and then Luke. So I played the top two and then Chris. It was a rough night. And then I got a bye. So I did get a win, technically.
Right. You got just as many wins as I did, even though while I was playing, you were getting some chow mein.
Yeah, I ate Chinese food. It was great. It just didn't come out. I got my board clears early and Annihilation came out. Annihilation Ritual came out like second to last card in my deck against Jeff. It just didn't work. That's the thing with that deck. But it's a lot of fun to play, so I still enjoy it.
I played this great guy named Jesse, who made a great joke about HRH Hell Giant Peterson, my deck. He said that it's a very good Minnesota strong name. Very good Lutheran deck. Uh-huh.
Doesn't know how to merge on the highway.
I banged him hard, and I feel bad about it a little bit because he's such a nice guy. But I was riding high after that because that was my first match, and then you and I played, and it was a tense match because we both wanted to win real hard.
Yeah.
Real hard. And I had you on the ropes right away. But then your deck does what it does, you know, Bouncing Death Quark, Archimedes, Rage Quit.
It was crazy, though. Your first turn was what? Popped a couple amber with Mars. And then what was it? Martian Generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And then drew 4.
Yep.
I mean, you drew 4, popped amber, got like 3 creatures out.
Yeah.
And then the next 3 turns in a row, Scott played doubles of a card, like I'll bait the Grim twice. Like, I'll steal 6, thank you. Like, what? The next turn, it was like double this. And then the next turn, it was like double that.
Yeah.
And after like 4 or 5 turns, I was like, what's going on? And it was really tense. We were both really on edge. And I was like, this is bullshit.
He accused me of cheating.
I almost accused him of cheating.
You didn't almost accuse me of cheating.
I was like, what is going on?
You looked me in the eyes and you said,
are you messing with me? Yeah.
Are you sure you shuffled?
Yeah, I asked him. I was like, did you shuffle? I did because it was just weird. Yeah, I mean, it was like, 2 of these, boom, nerfed you. Next turn, like 2 of these, perfect answer again. Next turn, 2 of these, perfect. It was just like,
yeah. Well, you know what sucks about that is that deck has 2 not finished with you, and that's where you play it, and you get an ember, and you shuffle any number of creatures back into your deck. And I've never gotten those
separate from each other.
Oh, no.
And it sucks because that's when you want separate from each other.
You know? You want that, like, kind of
you want
first,
to be able to
third,
keep your
and
stuff
final.
In.
Yeah.
You don't want those at the same time.
No.
So,
no.
Anyways, it was fun. I had a good time. I'll definitely want
to
go back.
I was playing next to you guys, and I thought you were close to done. So I went to go report my match. And then I came back to you guys, and I'm like, you guys on your first match?
Key update.
Key update.
Key update.
Because I thought you guys had finished, and then you're like, no.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I was like, come on, man. This is big time. There's $15 on the line here. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah. No, yeah. Don't talk to us.
We were on edge. Scott and I are fairly competitive with each other.
Yeah,
as
well, I'm the best, and I don't ever want him to feel anywhere remotely to any kind of good feelings.
Right.
You know, I always want him to feel like shit.
So banged your ass.
I found out that if you have two different sets of tokens, you just handle your own tokens, and there's like a invisible exchange that happens between
playfields.
Yeah,
I didn't like that too. I didn't like that.
Joe and I did that.
You know, like playing against other people was hard because of that. Like you say in the car, you know, what's the etiquette of this? And when I got to play against Jeff, it was nice because okay, we've got our fort tokens out, and we've got our minis and everything feels comfortable and nice, and we have our status quo that we can kind of fall into. Playing other people, you don't have that, and I guess it's good to stretch yourself and get out of your comfort zone.
Everybody was cool, though. I was like, hey, look, I don't have tokens. Can we just use yours? And they're like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, everyone was
super
everyone nice.
Was great. I had a great time.
Would you do the organized thing at Dreamers again or another game store?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would. I prefer in the fort, though.
I prefer fort as well, but I just, you know, I like to see how these decks get chained. Jeff's deck got chained right away. It got one power and three chains right away. And that's great because then I can say, well, you want to play that deck? Great. Three chains, bud.
Yep. Yeah. Not an adaptive, though.
No, adaptive still. That's just the starting bid. It's three chains.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Okay. I could get on board with that.
Hot tip. If your hands hurt from holding cards, ask your opponent for a hand massage, but not before the first key. That's just rude.
Hot tip.
Purple Archons are the most elegant.
Hot tip.
Don't touch me. Hot tip.
When popping a freshie, always use a new pack. Hot tip.
Freshie.
All right, guys. So let's pop a freshie here. We ordered three boxes for the fort, and we're pulling a 40 out of the public box here. We got all Chinese packs, the side open ones. So we're going to pop this sticker off here and pop this little side tab. And, you know, our rap song is completely irrelevant now because there's no Thin Red Line anymore.
It's not completely. It's 50% relevant.
It's 50% relevant. Now, the problem with these Chinese packs is they're really well made, so you got to bite them open.
They're not really these Chinese packs.
He just did it.
I just bit it open. All right.
And you have no fingernails either.
No, so. I don't. So I'm kind of losing. All right. So here's what we're looking at, guys. We're looking at Galileo Tower Mantle. This thing's crazy. It looks like a corkscrew with a bunch of fire floating above it. Mars Shadows Sanctum.
Oh, this thing could bang.
Yeah. So I'll hand some of those off to you guys
really
here.
Really quick look at this. Has double invasion portal.
Mm.
It does have the Mars Ambassador. Oh, this thing has the Proclamation 346E in Sanctum. That's going to help it be a banger.
It's got
two Lamindras, though, in Shadows, which pulls it down. But it has double Miasma.
Okay.
And a couple Umbras.
Okay.
And it's so hard for me to get my head wrapped around these new Mars cards. But it does have the Zixix Shockworm, Red Planet Raygun, the Killzord Mark 9001.
What? Okay, Dan, we need to know what this proclamation does after the Killzord.
Killzord Mark 9001. It's over 9000. It's an upgrade. This creature gets +2 armor and +2 power. This creature gains skirmish and fight, gain one chain. Wow, that's weird.
So it's just a...
Oh, weird.
It just turns anything into just a banger.
Yeah.
Just this card is my banger.
And then what was the other thing?
The Proclamation.
Proclamation 34-6E.
Yeah, okay. Is an artifact law. While your opponent does not control creatures from three different houses, their keys cost +2.
It's mean, right? Yeah. Mean. Because then you can just control their board and they're forging a date. And then it has the Mars Ambassador, which is nice because then you can play off house, which is great.
Remind me what Think Drone does. Is that the one where you play and you get to archive?
It's a 3-power creature, Martian Scientist. Reap, you may archive a friendly creature or artifact from play.
Oh, that's the Reap one. And what about the Beam Buckler? He should be right next to them.
Yep. 4-power, 1-armor creature, Martian Soldier. Play, deal 2 damage to a creature and move it to either flank of its controller's battle line. And there's 11 free amber on there.
Okay.
What does Long Fuse Mind do in Shadows? That's the last rare that we haven't talked about.
It's an artifact weapon, Omni. There is a free amber on there. Omni, sacrifice Long Fused Minds, deal 3 damage to each enemy creature not on a flank.
It's nice. All right, hot take, Jeff.
I don't like it. There's some interesting stuff there, but I don't think it's going to bang. That's my take.
I'm going to say no. It not a banger.
You know what? I'm going to take the contrarian here. I'm going to say that the pleasure points on this thing are not going to be that great, but I think that this thing will win.
Okay, yeah, we should talk about that.
But
so banger or not banger?
Banger or not banger. It might win, sure, but it's not going to be a banger. I mean, you got to, come on, banger or bomb here? Quick.
I mean,
if it
wins.
Two.
What do you?
One.
Is it a banger?
Is it a banger? Go.
It's a banger.
Oh,
okay. We're split.
All right, so yeah, Dan.
It's going to win games. Yeah, it's not going to be fun to play. It's going to win games.
We had an argument about how we determine bangers. Mm-hmm. Scott's all about codifying it and making it very super strict. And contrary to my usual persona, I actually think that how the banger feels when it's banging is a very important factor. Are you having fun banging? Does it feel good?
Are you sure? Are you sure you're not just trying to wiggle out of this so that you can not be on record of calling bangers versus bomb bombs? Be right.
I mean,
or wrong?
Part of it is my sheer laziness. I don't want to like think about it. But
we do want to start a leaderboard of who's predicting bangers and not bangers, and we'll get that up shortly.
Yeah, that's a good point because it's important because that will prove who's smarter than the rest of the
and better
the crew
and more
better
handsome
and way more handsome.
Yeah. Well, I see, but this is the problem, right? Is if you introduce a mechanism where there's a whole bunch of gray area, and then it's like, oh well, you know, I think it bangs, and like, well, how do you determine if it bangs or not?
It's part of the meta.
Win percentage.
Yeah,
it's part of the meta. It's part
of the meta.
Yeah, embrace the meta.
All right, I'm gonna embrace the meta until our listeners tell you guys that you guys are idiots.
Well, that's
already happened.
That's obvious.
Yeah, we are idiots. I think we got the cards right today, though. Probably not, but we'll find out soon enough.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. That's all we've got for today, and it's been fun to be back. Hope you'll keep joining us. Thanks, everybody.